All right. So, go ahead, sorry. The Rashi I wanted to look at this week, I'm sure you've seen before. It's, at the very least, the ideas from it. It's a classic one. Where the Parsha starts off, obviously talking about a Metzorah, and specifically how they become Tahor. And saying, Zos Tehi Tahoras HaMetzorah B'yom Taharaso V'huva El HaKohen. And then in Pasuk Gimel, V'yatza HaKohen El Mechutz L'machne V'ra HaKohen V'hinei Mirpa Nega Taras Min HaTaruah. So the Kohen's gone and seen, and they are healed, but they are not Tahor yet. V'tiva HaKohen V'lakach L'mitahir Shtei Tziparim Chayos Tahoros V'etz Erez U'shni Tolas V'ezo. It needs to take the two birds, Etz Erez, cedar, Shni Talas, the crimson thread, and then Ezo, which is hyssop. In Rashi, at least in these two comments here, the basic question is why these specific things? It seems, you know, there's obviously a clear recipe, if you will, and why? So Etz Erez, Lefisha, Negaim Baim Angasas Aruach. Because Etz Erez, because Negaim come out of a sense of haughtiness. And in the next one, Ishni Tolas, Be'ezov, Ma'atakan Naso, Vizrape. So what is the cure? Yashpil Atmo Megavaso, Katolas, Ucha Ezov. You need to humble yourself in your arrogance like a worm, Katolat, and like this hyssop, which apparently is a very lowly plant. And he's basing himself, the first comment is obviously, it says right there, it's from Gemara Erechin. And the second comment, it doesn't state, but it's from Midrash Tanchuma in the third paragraph, which I put in source 2, because this will lead us to the first question when you look more closely at what Rashi actually says. So the Midrash that he's basing himself on says as follows, Eitz Erez, Ha'erez Hazeh Ein Gavoah Memenu. Actually, there's no taller tree than the cedar. The fishek bia atzmo ke'erez ba'alav hatzaras. So the Midrash Tanchuma itself already identifies gasas aruach or gaiva as being the root cause of this tzaras. And I didn't put it on here, but the Mefarshim on Rashi point out, well, he seems to have contradicted himself, because here he's saying it's because of gaiva or gasas aruach, and in the previous comment he says it's because of lashon hara. Right, that's basically what they say, that one leads to the other. You, the only way you're getting to lashon hara is because you have this inflated sense of self. And then there are two different versions. It's either Davarach or Da'amar. I think the Da'amar probably makes more sense. Da'amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar al gasas aruach atzaras ba sheken at motze by Uziyahu. And you can see this by Uziyahu in Divrei Yamim, where v'chazka so gava livo ad lahashchis, where he became tremendously haughty and arrogant to the point of destructiveness. And what was this destructiveness? He took Ketores. He wasn't a Kohen. He took Ketores into the base of Mikdash, and the Kohanim confront him. It says v'zoapo ima Kohanim, and when he's arguing and being arrogant toward the Kohanim, v'tzaras zarcha b'mitzcho. And as a result, he, right there at that moment, tzaras pops up on his forehead. Ezov azay ein bi'ilanos shafal mimenu. And the ezov, which is part of the cure, there's no other plant which is so small as it. And now that you have, he has already humbled himself, he will become fully healed by the ezov, which... It's interesting the way that the Midrash puts it there, because already in the Pesukim you can see that the Tzaras has gone away, and now he's becoming Tahor. So at that point it sounds like, yes, he's gotten rid of the Gasas Ruach, and the Tzaras has gone away, and now we're doing a formal purification process. But something is missing there. There were two things in Rashi. When you look at the Rashi, it's Yashbo Atmo Megavaso Ketulas Ufadezo, and there's no worm in the Midrash. Rashi seemingly is just assuming that, you know... Right, in terms of the theme, the theme is there, but it's interesting that the Midrash doesn't state that.
That's why Rashi doesn't say he got it from Midrash there.
Right, because it's partly himself. It's interesting. And I looked, we actually have this gray set next to the Gur Arya, Lefushut El Shel Rashi, which I'd never honestly looked in before. And he points this out, and so I put it in source 3, Midrash Medaber Rak Al Ezov, Hanemuch Vashafel, Kesamel Lashpalas Adam B'tshuvaso. The Midrash only speaks about the Hesa, which is very lowly, as symbolic of the lowering of this person through the tshuva process. Rashi hosif as a tolas on these cares b'pesukenu sha'afi mesamelet efesut v'katanut chen amar David. Excuse me. The kind of the nothingness and the lowliness. So too, David says, "Anochi tolas v'lo ish. I'm just a worm, but not a man." Oh, right. So, that, yeah, I didn't put that on here, but that is, Talaya is a worm, Tala. Right, so here, it literally, it means a thread. You're not using a worm in the process. But what people are picking up on is just the etymology or the kind of the link between the two words. That's the symbolism behind it. Why, there's nothing significant or special about a red thread. It's all about what it symbolizes, at least according to Rashi's approach to it. So what Rashi's doing, according to this, is that it's really significant. That, you know, just adding one word in there makes a big difference, where the Midrash doesn't touch on it. And so Rashi's coming to explain our pasuk, and the Midrash didn't help us with Shini Tolas. But he assumes, listen, symbolically they seem to be equivalent, so he sticks them together. Thereby explaining the entire pasuk, unlike the Midrash. And so why the Midrash left that out is its own question. It could be that Chazal were just assuming you would make that next step, as did Rashi for us. Fine. So that the next question that you see in some of the commentaries on Rashi himself are still, why do we need both of these? Which you could understand just to be a question not so much on Rashi, but the pasuk itself. Why is the Torah saying you need both the crimson thread and the Ezov? But that question is prompted by Rashi's assumption, which is now it makes more sense that the Midrash doesn't have Shini Tolas in there, because maybe the Midrash is assuming it's for something else. It's some other symbolism. But once Rashi clumps them together, then it becomes redundant. And so that's what the Maskula David in Source 4 points out. Yesh lavin amai tzarich letarti. Why do you need both? Tolas v'ezov. If they're both there because of, you know, yashpil atzmo megavah, so...
Why do you need the eras at all? So, like, why do you need a symbol of haughtiness? I guess it makes the connection for us, like, tall tree, short tree, but...
Right, I guess it's kind of just completing the circle, because at that point, yeah, we're assuming he's already lost it, or no, I don't know if lost is the right word, but lost that status of having tzaras. He doesn't have tzaras, so he obviously understood what was going on. But now that we're going through this formal process, part of that formality is just to say... outright, this is what you did wrong, and here's what you're doing right. And that itself is significant, that maybe at the kind of this part of that tshuva process is to admit the wrongdoing. Yeah. Okay, fine. So in the second line, Yesh Lomar, he's going to give us two answers. Alderch Maida Amor Rabbanan the Meseches Avos. We can link this to what's said in Perki Avos. This is Perik Dalad, Mishnah Dalad. Ma'od Ma'od Heve Shfal Ruach. Be very, very humble of spirit. Ubir Sham HaRav, which is the Bartanura, the body of Bartanura. The Ratzono Lomar, this means to say, Da'afo Gav de B'chol Shara Midos HaDerch Amtzi Hu HaMashubah. Even though when it comes to any other character trait, the middle path is the way to go. Don't go to the extreme in either direction, you know, too much or too little. However, when it comes to arrogance, there it's different. You can't take the middle path. You have to get as far away. It's apparently just, it's like playing with fire. It's
It
might be. I remember.
I feel like you could use a
I hear that. Yeah, no, I it's interesting. I'd have to look in the Rambam and see what he says. This is, I don't know if it's the Rambam on that Mishnah. I think it's from Shmona Parakim. We'd have to look there. That's an interesting point, though. I'm sure that's something that people have dealt with. I don't know off the top of my head, but that's answer one. That basically that it's a double emphasis, just like even the words in the Mishnah, Me'od, Me'od.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
You have Tolas Ve'ezov, and it's, yes, it's redundant, but that's the point, to you know, double up, basically. Vod Yesh Lomar, additionally, we can say, Mishum De'ika Beis Mine Gava. There are two different types of gaiva. Yesh Shemizgai Al Shlemos Nasho, Chelek Aruchani. There are some people who are arrogant as a result of their spiritual accomplishments. Daino Shagado B'chokma, he's very learned. Other people have arrogance as a result of physical prowess. Daino Bigvuraso, he's very strong, Uva Oshro, or very rich. Hilchach Remez Ramazlo Shiim Mizgai Baruach Chiyoni Yashpil Atzmo Kotolas. Therefore, if you have arrogance as a result of that spiritual, you should lower yourself like a worm. Shidme Chios, excuse me, Chios Shibo Lechios Etolas. Should be, think about the kind of that life force, that spirituality in you, as if I have accomplished nothing more than what a worm has accomplished.
It could be the same either way. Like, you could use each one for the other. I don't see why a worm is specifically funny.
Yeah, I hear it. Well, so let's see what he says. I think, listen to what he says about the V'yemis Gai B'chomer Shebo Shehu Davar Domein. So there, it makes more sense by strength than the wealth part, but say if you've gone to the gym every day and now you're very muscular, compare yourself just to a beam on the wall, which is completely inanimate, and therefore make yourself, kind of perceive yourself as that, and thereby lower your arrogance. Even the Ezov Mekir Shehu Domein. Compare yourself to an Ezov, what I put beam. Beam's not correct. It just means the actual hyssop plant, which actually grows from the wall, which was, I think, a different statement in...
This is something physically incapable
of. Right, something a very... Right, so that yeah, I definitely hear what you're saying. It could have gone either way. It doesn't necessarily change his point, but which one he's attaching to which category is flexible. Fine, so that was answer two, that by clumping them together, Rashi is covering both spiritual haughtiness and physical haughtiness. And it's essentially, he's just kind of, the Torah as a result, and through Rashi's approach, would be covering its bases. Because presumably you could have somebody who's just one or the other, they're not necessarily both. Fine. The next one is the Be'er B'Sadeh. These both are just literal pictures from. They have that Mikros Gedolos with, I think it's 11 Mefarshim on Rashi. And here he has a slightly different question. He says he's dealing with why these, which I guess. I shouldn't say that's a different question. That's really Rashi's question. But I think it also helps us with our question. He says, Afo gav yesh kama v'kama minim shfalim. So there are any number of different kind of lowly things that we could have chosen from out in the world. So why a worm and why hyssop? M'kal makom bachar bahani tarte. And nevertheless, he chose these two. But really, the Torah chose these two. Because by way of them, Yizkor Sofo V'Tchilaso. you'll come to remember your end, where you're going to end up, and where you began. Again, quoting Perkei Avos. Ma'ayin ba, where did you come? Mitipa surucha, from a putrid drop. V'hu hazera shazab magufo. And this is the seed that came from his body. V'zehu ezov. And this is referring to the ezov, the hyssop, just the words there, the seed, the word Zion Bays, the root there of Zav. Ulan ho'lech, and where are you going? L'makom afa rima v'toleya. You're going to a place of, you know, dust, worms, maggots. Vubatmo yesheni l'tolas. And you yourself will be second to worms, which... Right, I wasn't sure if it was that they'll be kind of conquering, you know, eating you basically, which that could, yeah, which is, that's the theme of the Mishnah certainly.
Yeah,
that's the whole point. One thing I was thinking last night, maybe it's just the order in the Mishnah of which comes first, but it's not second, so that doesn't work.
Oh, it's not.
Yeah, no, it's Afa Rima Vitola. I mean Rima. Regardless of how we translate Rima, Talea is third, so it doesn't make sense. So yeah, it has to be just the theme of the mission itself, which is, you know, sensible and fitting. But yeah, you're going to be even less than this Talea. I know Shni Tolas, and that's why the Pasuk, in fact, uses those two words, not just a Tolas, but Shni Tolas, the word that for the thread, instead of saying Chut, for example. To hint... through this gold thread, red thread, that you're going to be sheni l'tolas. You're going to be secondary to a worm.
Yeah.
I don't know if he would call it cute per se, but you know, it's very nice.
It works very well with, you know, like the tolas, but also the fact that it's a thread and it's
right.
You use both words.
Yeah, and it's nice that you use both words, because otherwise, the thread, I would have just assumed, okay, a thread looks like a worm, and there you go. But why not say chut? So some
why
of the word
for red, shani, you know, like shani.
Because right, because okay, yeah. Right, which is true. Nobody else has said anything about redness. So we're all focused on the word tola. Uvzei yashbu atzmo magava. So as a result, you'll see your beginning and end sitting there right before you, and you'll have that kind of moment of introspection. So those are all just some. Kind of what comes out of when you look a little more closely at Rashi, and it's very easy, especially when you're doing Shnai Mikra. You know, I certainly see with myself something, you're just going so quickly. So, I mean, sometimes you do, like, if you actually pay attention, you can see a lot. On the other hand, if you're going quickly and just trying to get it done, which is obviously kind of missing the whole point, then you miss all this stuff.
I just go over the lighting, but
yeah. Yeah, it's There's a lot there, which is why Rashi is Rashi.
In these parts, it's very difficult to focus for the whole thing, you know, because there are logical like points that I'm just reading it, you know, because it's too much
It's also very easy to get caught in that trap of, well, when's the last time anybody had to deal with Tsaras? But at the same time, you can still bring these lessons into our own lives. I just put there are other difficulties that people bring up, like why. Actually, let me just read this one really quick and then maybe we'll stop there. The Ramban I put on here is fascinating. It's just this one liner where he says at the end, V'hinei ha-metzora v'toras ha-bayis ha-menuga tumas ha-meis krovim. Taras by a person, by a house, and the whole concept of tumas ha-meis are very closely related. Binehem kedmus Pesach Mitzrayim, and they are all following the pattern of Pesach Mitzrayim. So he doesn't tell us what exactly that means.
Yeah, what does it mean?
Okay, so that's partly what you have to explore. But at the very least, they all involve Ezo. And so, you know, what can you pull out of that thematically? Is there something? Does that tell us about Pesach Mitzrayim that it's a kind of a purification process? Or is it Is it meant to kind of be a moment of humility where we're supposed to stay in our homes, you can't go out, it's kind of badad yeshev in a sense. Right, exactly. We were dipping it in, it says agudas ezov. And in that moment where you have, where your enemies are falling, and al tisamach, don't be rejoicing as a result. Don't get haughty. But one of the other questions that comes up is, well, this sound, based on this rashi here, where Nagaim are coming because of gasos haruah, it sounds like it's a bad thing and you're being punished. But when it comes to Nagai batim, Rashi says it's a basura. Yeah, he says this is great. So I got this from a chavrusa in Toronto who was moving, and he was giving it away. It's the Truma Sadeshin, which is one of the great Chuvas Farm of the Rishonim. Rabbi Yisrael Isserlin has a commentary on Rashi, and there he says, this is actually, I just saw, it was brought in Sifsei Chachamim, so it made it into the Mikros Gedolos, but he brings this difficulty, and he says, right, when you find the gold in there, Yerum Levavam, that's going to bring about haughtiness. It was like, oh great, well now I'm wealthy, which was one of the examples of in Rav Pardo, where he says that's kind of that physical haughtiness, and he links it to the king. That's one of the reasons that a king can't have lots of money. And now, as a result, you still need these items. You still need the lesson. These items there, even though it's good news in a sense. It's you have to kind of mitigate and keep everything into perspective, even in the good times. Okay, so we'll stop there, Travis.
Actually, my next class.